Tommy James is coming to the Genesee Theater in Waukegan on Saturday night, along with the Shondells. He sold 100 million records over the years. Not bad for a kid who grew up in Niles, Michigan. Tommy, you must have heard Chicago radio there in Niles. It's not too far from South Bend.
That's absolutely right. I grew up on Chicago radio.
And you certainly were on Chicago radio a lot through the 60s. In 1969, Tommy James sold more records than the Beatles. How about that?
Well, that was singles, not albums.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, still right. Sounds pretty good.
Well, it's true. I've been so lucky to have the kind of longevity we've had. I really do. I thank the good Lord and the fans for all these years. It's been really a terrific ride.
Let's go back to the beginning. Now, do we have this story right here, Tommy? This originally was something you heard in South Bend. It eventually was recorded and played on radio stations in Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. But then it took a few years to hit nationally. Is that it?
Well, something like that. Basically, what happened is I recorded Hanky Panky with my high school group, the Shondells, back in 1963 in WNIL radio studio in Niles. And I was a junior at the time, and, you know, the record came out locally, did okay, went number one locally, but then it died because we had no distribution. And so I graduated from high school in 65, and I took my band on the road, and we played all up through Chicago, up north of Chicago, and in fact, Waukegan, where we're going Saturday night, is one of the towns I played back in 1965 before I was Tommy James. It's a true story. So anyway, the bottom line was that in early 66, we were playing a little club up in Janesville, Wisconsin, and right in the middle of my 2 weeks, the guy went belly up. And he got shut down by the IRS for not paying his taxes. And, of course, we got sent back home. So I went back home feeling like a real loser, but that's how God works, because all of a sudden I got the call that changed my life. Pittsburgh distributor called me up and radio station called me up to tell me that Hanky Panky, this record that I had recorded almost 3 years before that, was sitting at number one. And I couldn't believe it. I you know, it was just amazing to me. Only in America could that happen. Somebody picked it up out of a record cemetery and they bootlegged 80,000 copies and sold them in 10 days, and we were sitting at number one. So that began my career. We went to New York 2 weeks after that to sell the record, and that's how I ended up on Roulette Records. But that's a whole other story. But that, in a nutshell, is how my career started.
Yeah, and that Roulette Records story is in a great book called Me, the Mob, and the Music, One Hell of a Ride with Tommy James and the Shondells. And you mentioned something about you playing before you even became Tommy James. Who were you before Tommy James?
I was Paul McCartney. No. My real name is Tom Jackson, Thomas Jackson, and that was who I was until 1966. So anyway, the place I'm playing Saturday night, not the theater, but the town, I played back in the day. So it's kind of exciting coming back.
And you liked the garage band sound of Hanky Panky. You never wanted to change that, right?
Well, that's what we were. We were a garage band. Mm-hmm. And you can't dress us up and take us anywhere. We basically—I love putting people on the dance floor. That's really what rock and roll is all about to me. I have always loved the idea of a garage band because that's just as basic as you can get. And to this day, I love to hear garage band music.
And this was a different sound for you. This was my favorite Tommy James record. You took the title of this, Crystal Blue Persuasion, from the Bible. Is that right?
That is correct. I was playing it. This is, of course, several years later in 1969. We were playing college in Atlanta. And after the show, this really nerdy-looking kid comes up to me with glasses on. He says, Tommy, could you read this poem? I wrote this poem for you, and I just want you to read it. And so I said, sure, I took it with me. It was called Crystal Persuasion. And, you know, when you're a songwriter, you're always looking for interesting word combinations, and that just intrigued me. It sounded very visual, and I just liked the way it sounded. We took it back to the room and wrote it that night, and the poem was beautiful. It was right from the Book of Revelation in the Bible. So we rewrote it a little bit, and well, rewrote it a lot. But the bottom line was, and I added the word blue because we needed a third, we needed another syllable. So it turned out to be one of the hardest records I ever produced, because when we took it back to the studio the following week and went in and recorded it, we completely overproduced it. Too many guitars, you know, it just didn't fit the song anymore. And so we spent the next few weeks unproducing the record and pulling things out until all that was left was we took all the drums out. All that was left was a bongo and a flamenco guitar and a little trickling organ and rhythm guitar, and that was it. Mm-hmm. So we had to really think about that record, but I'm so glad we did, because I think it's my favorite song of the hits, too.
Mm-hmm. It still sounds good today. It reminds me of the story of the Beatles' The Long and Winding Road, where George Martin said the credits should be produced by George Martin, overproduced by Phil Spector.
Right? Yes, that's true, yes.
I Think We're Alone Now, recorded on a Christmas Eve. What were you, 19 when you recorded this?
Yes, I was.
Wow.
I was.
And, of course, Tiffany had a number one record with this,
yes,
and so did you.
We've done so many times. Last year, Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day did a cover of it and went top 10 with it. And so the thing has just been, you know, I don't know, like dandelions. You can't get rid of it.
So it was 1967 that this was on top of the charts almost the whole year, wasn't it?
That is correct. It was a long time. And, you know, it went up slow and came down slow, and that's how you like them to be. Mm-hmm. You know, the funny part is, too, and then the follow-up, Mirage, was actually the chord progression to I Think We're Alone Now backwards. I know that sounds like a 60s press agent made that up, but it's a true story. When we finished the final mix, we took it back to Bo Gentry's apartment, who was one of the producers, and it was a 7.5-inch tape, and we played it. When you get a 7.5-inch tape upside down, it plays backwards, and that's what happened. We accidentally got it upside down, and we listened to it. We said, you know, that's not a bad progression. We should do something with that. And so Richie Cordell and Bo Gentry went off in the corner and wrote it, and it turned out to be the next single, Mirage.
So that was I Think We're Alone Now backwards, pretty
much.
That
is correct.
Yeah, so many great songs from Tommy James and the Shondells over the years, Crimson and Clover, Money Money, Dragging the Line, and your fans in the Midwest will be happy to see you Saturday night at the Genesee Theater up in Waukegan. Tommy, it's so great to talk to you again.
Talking with you, Bob.
And you have continued to play everywhere over the years. So
we are touring all over the country, and I have a show on Sirius XM. Every week, and so we're which was, by the way, a great way to stay in touch with the fans. Mm-hmm. While, you know, COVID was going on.
Yeah.
And so I'm so glad to be back on the road now and be able to mix it up with the fans. So looking forward to seeing everybody up in Waukegan.
Well, have a great show, and stay healthy.
Thank you so much.